reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations, the Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to your dawning radiance. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They are all gathered. They have come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters on caregivers' hips. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will tremble and open wide, because the sea's abundance will be turned over to you. The nation's wealth will come to you. Countless camels will cover your land. Young camels from Midian and Ephah. They will all come from Sheba, carrying gold and incense, proclaiming the Lord's praises.
Those kids are pretty special, aren't they? Good to see them in our worship. Well, without much time for us to simmer a bit into the birth of Jesus in our church here, we do move right from Advent and Christmas into
Epiphany.
During the next several weeks leading into the season of Lent, we will talk a lot and we will sing a lot about light. And God knows we can use a little more light in our world these days. Some of us are leaving Christmas with our heels dug in. We didn't get enough time with significant others or family or friends to really embrace the season like we wanted to. We intended, some of us, to do more volunteer work, and in some minds, the opportunities to help those in need are limited to the holiday season, when we know in truth that people who are homeless or hungry have a tough time between January and November. So let's not forget that. Some of us are thrilled to leave the Christmas season, aren't we? Stressful gatherings, or perhaps worse, no one to keep us company. Stretched finances meant little to no shopping, so the annual shopping days countdown meant nothing to us or made us feel even more out of the loop and insufficient. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but I do think I'm speaking the truth. For many, many folks, this is a difficult time of the calendar year. While we know that in the calendar, December 22nd brought us the good news that days will now get a little bit longer with each new sunrise, between the fall back time change and the shorter daylight in the winter, darkness can appear to overwhelm us. And not just in terms of literal darker days when comparing the hours between sunrise and sunset, but darkness of the reality of uncertainty. Sometimes that can convince us that light will never come. And needless to say, if we're honest, during the coming weeks of both state and federal changes in political powers who have already implemented some significant legislation that many of us feared, darkness looms around us, doesn't it? The prophet Isaiah was speaking to an early ancient community because they too were experiencing darkness. You see, all around them, powerful armies were slamming them over and over, wiping out the very people who professed the belief in one holy God. Surely they thought they would be rewarded for holding fast to their faith. And yet, the first hearers of Isaiah's prophecy were witnessing and experiencing oppression like what we see happening in places like Aleppo and the streets of Lexington. We sometimes forget that mass killings of folks and enslavement of folks and exclusion and discrimination have been around as long as time itself. But what we've seen over and over again in history is that when people hang on to God's hope and commit to walk in God's light, then the powers of politics or religions or hierarchy in societies can be changed. Don't lose sight of that, my friends, especially in the days ahead. Isaiah was a prophet in the 8th century, and his writings in the Old Testament comprise 39 chapters covering almost 100 pages. Ah, Isaiah had a lot to say to a hurting, depressed, anxious people. We'll get right back to what he had to say. But first, I should ask you and me whether we should even pay attention. In other words, the first question for us is this: can we relate at all to the first hearers of Isaiah's words? We know that millions of people suffer from some kind of anxiety or depression disorder. If you do not personally, chances are you are close to someone who does. And right out of the gate of this worship series, let's commit, church. Let's commit to allow ourselves or others around us to talk about their anxiety or depression. We have a mental illness crisis in our country. Early indications are that is the issue of the shooter in Fort Lauderdale. We have a mental crisis in our country. And some of that is related to insufficient health care or facilities to provide some healing. And that is a complex issue far above my pay grade. My good friend Janice James knows a lot about that and has dealt with that in a wonderful way all these years. It's above my pay grade, but I believe what's within my reach is this: to stop stigmatizing mental illness. It's within all of our reach. And instead to provide love and friendship and support to those experiencing these things. And if that's you, reach out to us and talk to us instead of holding it in, which will only make the condition worse. Let's be the church family that is open about depression and anxiety in a way that is life-giving. Y'all with me in that? For some people, struggles with depression or anxiety are year-round. For others, they get some relief in spring, summer, and fall. It's the dreaded dark winter that results in what is now commonly referred to as seasonal affective disorder. It is a multi-billion dollar industry that offers special lights or self-help books on how to conquer seasonal affective disorder. And let me be really clear here. As we move into talking about how spiritual practices might be helpful for all of us to find more light in our lives, I would never suggest that ramping up one's praying or church attendance can replace medical resources and treatment. And Mike, I wish your friend had heard that. Yet what I do want to offer for the next several weeks is how we might consider God's everyday gifts and how we might find light from the God we profess to believe in. You see, I think we have a lot in common with the first community that first heard Isaiah. We are 2 weeks away, a week away now, from a major transition in our country. In addition to the change in who we call president comes promises of major changes in policies, social policies, economic policies, national security policies, environmental policies. The list goes on and on and on, unfortunately. Since November 9th, our social media and new airwaves have been full of division and dissension. People, including many of us, are scared and angry and all emotions in between. Others are optimistic that the candidates they voted in will have a positive impact on our country and its relationship with foreign countries. Yet some of us see the overwhelming needs of our brothers and sisters, and we look around and we are fearful that the gaps between the have and the have-nots are going to continue to widen. You see, some of us believe that the refugees and those who tend to crops or serve our food will continue to be rejected or marginalized or paid less than they should be. Some of us believe that basic civil rights will be undone for the LGBT community, or that women's health will be denied, or that education and child care and elder care programs will be cut while the wealthiest 2% of our country get even wealthier. Am I the only one fearful this morning? Am I the only one angry? Arise, shine. Your light has come. Did we gloss over that in our scripture reading this morning? As I share with you all the time, some of the most powerful lessons in scripture are in the tiniest details. You see, the scripture Yo-Yo read wasn't arise, shine, a light has come. Dang it. I wish that one little word wasn't there. Because you see, if Isaiah had said, arise, shine, a light has come, well, we can just look around and see who's come with the light. But no. No, my brothers and sisters, what Isaiah said was this. Arise, shine, your light has come. Uh-oh. Your light, my light, our light, arise. Friends, I want us to get our light back. Our lights of hope. Our lights that can make a difference. Brennan and I just returned from Florida, and as we got settled into our seats, we heard what I refer to as the save yourself first speech. You all that fly know that the attendants demonstrate how to use the oxygen mask, and they tell you if you're traveling with children or others who need assistance, you should put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then help the other person. Now, people who are close to me refer to that metaphor a lot and encourage me to do better self-care. It's a great lesson. It really is. Probably the hardest one in my life, and I'm going to continue to try to improve this year on self-care. And in these next several weeks, I hope that together we can put the oxygen mask back on us. I hope that we can give attention to the dimming of our internal lights. It's so easy to lead lives that are crowded and busy and overcommitted and uncertain. And it's so easy, friends, to give up. But I want us to try to discover, recapture, or improve our light so we can shine the light of the world around us. Here again, arise, your light has come. We are called to arise, which means we're willing to get up, to get off the mat, even if we need a hand up. We're willing to be open in ways we might use the light of God and the promise of God to weather not only our seasonal affective disorder, but perhaps more importantly, our spiritual affective disorder. I'm here to tell you this morning, no matter how dim your light may be, light is within reach. Hope is within reach. And you know why? Because God is within reach. Arise, arise, arise. Your light has come, and so, thanks be to God, has mine. And with that light, with God's light, everything is within our reach. Don't think so? Look around this incredible congregation. I was told by seminary colleagues and professors, don't do that. Don't start that church. There's plenty of churches in town. Okay. Arise. Your light has come. I was told, don't you move over there, Georgetown Road. Don't you do that. 2015, we added 50 members. Last year, thanks to Monica and my mama doing a little research, we added another 25. We've been here 2 years, Miss Elnora. We've added 75 members. Arise, your light has come. Jewel, Jose, Miss Elnora, my beloved Miss Hattie, people thought the lights in this church had gone out. And they did, for a minute. But they're back on. And it's not these. It's you. And it's me. Listen, I love you all, and I'm in this with you, and that's okay, but hear me, God's in this with us. Hold on to that light and arise.